I am one who always enjoys a plan. I like to be as organized as I possibly can be, but sometimes you have to shift gears. Sometimes you have to go in a different direction. Our mode of operation all these years has been to share Bible readings with one another. And then when we gather on a Sunday for a worship experience, we unpack one of those passages. The events that have happened in our area, in our world, prompt a change. So I ask you to stay with me. Listen carefully. I speak not as an expert. I speak not as... I just speak as a pastor. Racial conflict. Inhuman treatment of one another is inexcusable. God hates it. I sometimes wonder why he puts up with us, living in darkness and sin that we choose. But then you turn to the pages of the Bible and you find that racism, teachings about racism, you're going to find from the first book of Genesis all the way to the last book of Revelation. But there is one passage in particular that I'm drawn to, perhaps you are too. It is an event, an encounter in the life of Jesus that should bring all of us to our knees. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10. To set the story, to set the mood, Jesus is on the road, he's traveling, and the Bible says a lawyer, a young man, an attorney, approached him, a Jew, and he asked the question, "Good teacher, what must we do in order to please God, in order to be saved, in order to find what God wants us to find?" And you remember Jesus spoke to him and said, "What have you been taught from when you were a young boy all the way up to now?" And the young man responded eloquently. He quoted the Ten Commandments. You can't go wrong with those. And then Jesus said, "You must love your neighbor." And the young attorney responded back and said, "But Lord, who is my neighbor?" We pick up there in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. Wishing to justify himself, the young man said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers. They stripped him, they beat him, and they went away, leaving him half dead." Senseless violence. Perhaps these robbers picked on this man because he was traveling solo. We know that he was a fellow Jew. There's not the racial enmity in this portion of the story. It's just senseless, random acts of violence against people. This man traveling on his own was headed, it says, from Jerusalem to Jericho. Not too long a journey, a desert road. If you've been there, you know that it's an uphill climb from Jericho up to Jerusalem, but downhill, of course, if you're traveling Jerusalem down to Jericho near the Dead Sea. It was a road frequented by many people, and apparently this man fell prey to robbers. Call them what you want. Left for dead. But then the passage continues. Three individuals, not one, but two, three individuals passed by this man who lay on the side of the road, beaten senseless. And Jesus describes, first a priest. By chance, a priest was going down on that road. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite also, When he came to the place and saw him, he passed by on the other side. Read it carefully. Jesus was very clear that in the first instance, a priest, and who is a priest? What is a priest? A priest is one who should be connecting people to God. A priest is one who should be showing mercy. A priest is one who should be binding up wounds of those who were hurt. And yet, this priest, looking at a fellow Jew, passed by on the other side. But not only that, the second of these three, a Levite. Strange word to many of us, but a Levite was a kind of a helper to the priest. He was involved in the temple sacrificial system. In other words, he was someone who was well versed in God's word. Here is a Levite who passed by, and what did he do? Just like the priest, he went around. He passed by on the other side. Folks, that's what many of us do today. In the midst of senseless acts of violence, in the midst of a country and a world in turmoil, I mean, you put together, it's a perfect recipe for disaster. Who would have ever thought we would live through a pandemic? Who would have ever thought that that would lead to brutal acts, people upon people, regardless of race, color? And we move through life and we see it. And what do many of us do? We move to the other side. We avoid whatever it is we're afraid of. And I want to ask you to think with me just for a moment about what it means for you and me moving to the other side of this situation. A priest came upon a specific need and he moved to the other side. A Levite came upon the same man and he moved to the other side. And we do the same. How so? We move to the other side when we look at a situation and this is our response. Well, I need more details. I need a fuller investigation. Friends, when someone is hurting, when someone is desperately looking for help, we don't need all the details, do we? But we move to the other side. And that's what we say. We move to the other side when well-meaning people will say, well, yeah, Christians, followers of Jesus, here's what you need to do. Just preach the gospel. Just preach the cross. Just preach the empty tomb. And folks, that is the center of our faith. There is no doubt. But have you paid attention to the other words that are on either side of the story of the gospel of the cross and the resurrection? Does the idea of showing compassion to people ever cross your mind? Or is all we have to offer just trite words? We mean them, we believe them. But all we can do is say, well, my task is very simple. It's just to preach the gospel. It begins there and it ends there. But in between, there's going to be a call to all of us at one time or another to take action. We move to the other side when we say this. Well, I want to protect my children. I don't want my children to have to face these ugly things. You remember one of the first songs you ever heard, or at least one of the first songs I ever heard as a follower of Jesus when I was a little boy? Not Jesus loves me, but Jesus loves who? The little children. You know it? Sing it with me. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Do we believe that? Or do we use the excuse, I don't want my children to have to face this? Friends, this is the very time when, as parents, we need to be taking our youngest, we need to be taking our children and helping them understand, helping them know that Jesus does love us all. And who should be doing that within the family? It's the mom and the dad. But we move to the other side most of the time. Here's one. This is just honesty on my part. Many times I find myself moving to the other side in facing these issues. And the basic reason is, makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't enjoy bringing up and dredging up mistakes of the past, my own and those of others as well. It just simply is not something I want to do because it makes me squirm. It just makes me feel sad. It's just, I don't want to be uncomfortable. And what a terrible excuse is that. Folks, if we're not forced into feeling uncomfortable, then maybe we really aren't facing the issues before us at all. Maybe it's time that we felt uncomfortable more times than not. But we move to the other side, just like a priest did, just like a Levite did. And we move to the other side when this is what we say. Well, my culture is not their culture. They don't do things just like I'm comfortable with. And so therefore, I'll keep my distance. Therefore, I don't want to force them into my backyard, and I don't want them to force me into their backyard on these things. I just need to acknowledge, and we all need to acknowledge, that we're different and our culture is not the same as those who have been mistreated so much more than most of us. Did you ever stop to think that maybe culture is not necessarily the issue from God's point of view? People are going to use the excuse sometime, well, Stephen, look through the Bible and you're going to find God telling his people to separate themselves from this people group or that people group. It was never, as I can see it, because of a people group's identity. It was because people were pagan. People turned away from God. That's why God said, be careful. But how many times do we find ourselves having the opportunity to share, to exchange ideas, to worship with others, even though they may not speak our spiritual language? But no, we move to the other side. And we do so thinking that we're being faithful. We're being ethical. Luke 10:33. But a Samaritan who was on the journey came upon this man. And when he saw him, he felt compassion. He came to him. He bandaged up his wounds, pouring oil and wine on them. He put him on his own beast and brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the next day, he took out 2 denarii. That's a lot of money. He gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I return, I will pay you. All right, friends. We got a priest, move to the other side. We got a Levite who moved to the other side. But then we have a Samaritan. And you got to get that. Samaritan, this is where the race card comes in. This is where blatant racism pops to the surface. Because a Samaritan and a Jew were just like this. Jews called Samaritans half-breeds. Their ancestry went back to the generations in the Old Testament. And both groups, Jews and Samaritan, claimed to have the one understanding of God that was the most important. The one place where worship could take place. And yet here's a Samaritan in the midst of Jewish country. And he comes along, a Jew who was half beaten to death. And does he move to the other side? No. He stops. He does the right thing. He helps. And notice this. He helped without knowing the entire story. He didn't stop and raise the guy to consciousness. Now, tell me what you were doing here on this road and tell me exactly what you said to make this happen to you. You need to fill me in on all the details and then I'll consider whether or not I'm going to do the human thing and help you. No, he helped without knowing. Isn't that amazing? There's a business book written some years ago called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Maybe you've read it. Seven principles. And one of them is seek to understand, then to be understood. Hear me again. Seek in relationships, in anything that you do where you're facing a conflict. Seek first to understand where that person is coming from, why they're doing what they're doing, what is their motivation, what has happened to them. Once again, you don't have to have the whole story, but once you start into that dialogue, seek first to understand, then when it's your turn, seek to be understood. Why can't we do that? Why does it have to be people of all different backgrounds just at each other's throats? Which of these three, Jesus said, do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And the young lawyer said, the one who showed mercy to him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do the same. You see, the young attorney who came to Jesus, first and foremost, trying to prove his worthiness, trying to show he was doing everything right. When he listened to the explanation Jesus gave of who his neighbor really was, he got it. You know, most of the time, I would expect a young man like this to, you know, shrug Jesus off and to head his own way because he didn't want to do anything but go to the other side of the issue. But he didn't. Now, we don't know what happened to him after this, but thank goodness he got it. And Jesus, if he could have gone back, filled us in on a few more details, he would have chosen the words of Micah, the prophet of the Old Testament, in chapter 6, verse 8. Maybe you've heard it before, but it says this, he has told you, O man, God has told us what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. You remember that humility idea? We talked about it last week, I think. Humbling oneself, that's the one thing Jesus turns us loose to do. God says, hey, go for it. There's so many things in spiritual things and in the spiritual realm that we can't do on our own. We've got to have the power of the Holy Spirit, and certainly we need it to be humble. But it's action we take upon ourselves. We initiate it. Humble yourself. And that's part of what Micah is telling the people of the Old Testament, what God is telling us today. You know, in these days, maybe you're like me. You just feel overwhelmed by information. Maybe you do. So many things on social media that you're directed to read and to go deeper. Newspaper. I read the Dallas Morning News every day, cover to cover, because I think you got to hold it in your hand or it's not real. But I find myself just overwhelmed with information. But I tell you what I've done in recent months. I stumbled upon a man. His name is Maxwell Anderson. Maxwell Anderson lives in New York City with his wife, three children. He's a very successful entrepreneur. But what he has done over the past couple of years is he takes one major topic of the week that the world's facing or whatever it might be. And there's no doubt what it was this week. It's racism. And what he does is he distills all these articles. Some of them are from business journals. Some of them are from the news feed. Some of them are in video format. And he passes along to those on his subscription list five articles. Five articles that speak to that issue. And they're not going to be just a narrow point of view. You're going to read them, and you're going to find out other viewpoints, other facets of a particular subject. He even tells you how long it's going to take you to read that particular article. And that helps me because I don't want to waste my time. But this week, the five articles that he passed down links for his readers. And by the way, it's free. If you want to know the website, just give me a shout. Don't give me a shout now. But if you will, just email me and I'll be glad to pass the link along to you. It's free. He does it so that people will inform themselves about these issues. The fifth one this week was a video. 5 minutes. Transcribed 5 minutes. It was from April the 4th, 1968, when Robert Kennedy, in the midst of his presidential campaign, maybe some of you remember that, heard the news that Martin Luther King had been shot and killed. He landed in Indianapolis, and he was given the word that this terrible tragedy had happened. And his campaign handlers told him, "Bobby, do not appear in public. This is too volatile. You will be a target." But he said, "I must." And so he appeared before a campaign crowd of all different colors, and he spoke some words that I think are amazing. I'm going to read you the brief transcript of what he said. He said, "I have bad news for you, for all our fellow citizens, people who love peace all over the world, and that is that Martin Luther King was shot and killed tonight. In this difficult day, in this difficult time for the United States, it is perhaps well to ask what kind of nation we are, what direction we want to move in. For those of you who were black, considering the evidence that white people were responsible for this, you can be filled with bitterness, with hatred, a desire for revenge. We can move in that direction as a country in great polarization, black people amongst black, white people amongst white, filled with hatred toward one another. For those of you who are black and are tempted to be filled with hatred and distrust at the injustice of such an act against all white people, I can only say that I feel in my own heart the same kind of feeling. I had a member of my family killed, but he was killed by a white man. But we have to make an effort in the United States. We have to make an effort to understand, to go beyond these rather difficult times. My favorite poet was Aeschylus, and he wrote, "In our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart until, in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the grace of God." What we need in the United States is not division. What we need in the United States is not hatred. What we need in the United States is not violence or lawlessness, but love and wisdom and compassion toward one another and a feeling of justice toward those who still suffer in our country, whether they be white or they be black. We can do well in this country. We will have difficult times. We've had difficult times in the past. We will have difficult times in the future. It is not the end of violence. It's not the end of lawlessness. It's not the end of disorder. But the vast majority of white people and the vast majority of black people in this country want to live together, want to improve the quality of our life, and we want justice for all human beings who abide in our land. That was April the 4th, 1968. 2 months almost to the day following. Bobby Kennedy was in Los Angeles stumping for votes in his presidential campaign, and he was led through the kitchen area of the Ambassador Hotel and was gunned down by a 24-year-old Palestinian whose beef with him was he thought that Bobby had given too much support to Israel in their six-day war of 1967. When is it going to end? We can argue. We can prove our point. We can say I'm right and you're wrong. We can say be people of God and do this or do that. But don't you forget that it was God's people standing before him one day when God said, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and heal their land. I am asking you to join me in prayer, specifically this coming Friday, the 12th of June at 6:30 p.m. There is a group of people that are going to gather on the city hall steps. City of Lewisville has championed this cause, helping us with logistics. We'll follow social distancing, all that. But we're coming together not to demonstrate. We're coming together not to riot, of course. We're coming together to pray. And that's it. Will Langstaff, who's the pastor of the Servant House here in Lewisville, contacted me early last week just saying he felt wanting to do something and he wanted to have a prayer vigil of people of all color, of all faiths. And I said, Will, this is great. I'm with you. I'll be there. And I'll ask our people to be there. Because the only thing that matters now are the next steps we take. In which direction will they be? Father, lead us, guide us, help us, restore us, forgive us. And it's all these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.